This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I am retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Lexington, Kentucky studio. Thank you to everyone listening on Sirius 219, XM 206, and to those of you tuning in to our website at horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. I'm going to stop there because you're going to hear much more about the fundraising efforts for disabled jockeys during our show this evening. Our guest is one of the most active promoters and the newest ambassador for Jockeys in Jeans. She's actually joining us in studio today, and she has an incredible story. She was the first female jockey to ride at major racetracks in Japan. She has accomplished so much in Japan and here in the United States, and it's an honor to introduce Koru Tsuchiya. Koru, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Christina, to have me at here.
Thank you for
joining
us, Koru.
I'm so honored.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. We were practicing how to pronounce your name on the air because I didn't want to screw it up, but it is so great to have you here joining us in studio, and I can't wait to hear your story, Koru, and let's jump right in. The way we usually do these shows, we go back to the beginning, we talk about how you got started in the industry, in the sport. Why did you fall in love with horse racing?
Actually, my father was pretty famous jockey, and he was also famous trainer too in Japan.
Really?
So it was his dream to have a son and make him jockey.
Oh, I see. But he had you instead.
Well, he had 2 daughters.
Oh, okay.
Third time when his wife was pregnant, uh-huh, all his friends guarantee he gonna have a son.
Oh, no.
So they celebrate every single night till
gosh.
I was born.
Until you were born, and then it stopped. Oh, that's terrible.
So I grew up as a boy.
No, my gosh. That's hilarious. And what was your father's name?
Noboru Tsuchiya.
Okay. And he rode races, and then he went on to train.
Yes.
And where was this at? At a specific major racetrack in Japan?
Oh, we have a different racing system in Japan, so a lot of horsemen stay in one racetrack. Or I was born in right next to Tokyo State.
Okay.
So 4 racetrack in Tokyo area has a circuit. So we had a racing every single day, either one of 4 racetracks.
Wow, every single day?
Yes.
So it's huge in Japan, racing.
Yes, it was back then.
Is it still that way now?
Yes and no. It slowed down a little bit, here.
Yeah, sure.
Last 10 years, 15 years. It slowed down a little bit.
Slowed down, a shame, but hopefully it picks back up. And your father wanted a boy, and he was a trainer, a jockey. And so you were born, and then how was the reaction, and did they kind of try to keep you away from the racetrack from a young age?
Not really. I started galloping horses when I was 4 or 5 years old at racetracks.
4 or 5?
Back then, rule wasn't so strict, so they were kind of like laughing, and little kid was galloping horses, and they thought it was a little boy.
So they didn't mind so much, did they? 4 or 5 years old. I don't know what I was doing when I was 5, Koru, but it definitely wasn't galloping horses.
Not beach morning time. Of course, everybody's almost finished morning training, and then my father let me gallop some horses.
Wow. That's incredible. And did he teach you? Did he take you to the side and show you the proper way? I'm assuming he did if he was pushing you on horses.
Actually, he just put me on.
He just threw you on there.
Yes.
Figure it out. Wow, that's incredible. And how, I don't, if you remember from, you know, I don't remember when I was 4 or 5, but do you remember, was it difficult in the beginning? Did you panic? I mean, that had to be kind of scary as a little kid.
Actually, like little kids enjoy to get on like a pony.
Sure.
On a, like toy pony.
Right.
It just happened to be for me, just, is like just a real servlet. So it was fun.
Large pony, right?
Yes.
Large pony. So you're galloping horses at 4 and 5, and I'm assuming you're going to school at the same time as a young child?
Yes, we started galloping horses pretty early in the morning. So like before I go to school, I finished galloping horses all my life until high school.
Wow, so you had busy days. You were at the track in the morning and then going to school in the afternoon. And what did your mother think of that?
Oh, my mother wasn't against it.
No, not
she
against
had an
it.
Open mind. So.
Really? And back then, even early starting out, did your dad maybe get people to say, you know, why are you having your young daughter galloping horses whenever, you know, it was so rare to have a female, like females on the racetrack?
When I was young, like elementary school, middle school, everybody thought I was a boy, so...
I guess that worked out then.
It was okay.
It was okay. I thought you were a boy.
Until some newspapers that put on, there is the first female jockey in a major racetrack. Before I was accepted to be jockey school student,
really?
Then some people start against it.
Really? No, of course, that makes sense, because it was so unheard of. It was so new, and prior to, as you mentioned, you were accepted to the prestigious jockey school there. Prior to that, were you good in school? Did you think maybe you might go on and do something else?
I wanted to come to United States.
Really?
To go to college.
Okay, yeah. And did you have any idea what you wanted to do?
Well, I wanted to be archaeology.
a what? I'm sorry?
Archaeology.
Really? Really?
But that was my dream.
That was your dream. Wow, and then you just decided, why did you decide to go the route of going to jockey school?
Actually, my father really wanted to, somebody going to be take over his job.
Oh, really? So he pushed it?
Yes.
So he pushed it. So
it was his dream.
It was his dream. Sure, sure. And that makes sense. It was his legacy in a way. He was a jockey and trainer, and then he wanted you to follow in his footsteps. And so he pushed you to go to jockey school, And so what was the process for that? As you mentioned, it was a prestigious jockey school, and is that the only jockey school in Japan?
We have two racing association, but neither one of racing association jockey school accepted girls back
really?
Then. So Japanese media kind of pushed,
sure.
And they changed Japanese racing law and accepted female student.
Wow, so they changed the rule.
They have to.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. And did you, when you were accepted, what was the process for that? Was there
Yes, there is a writing interview, a writing test, and also paper test and interview.
So it's a pretty thorough process.
Yes.
It takes some time.
Not everybody was accepted.
Right, right. And how many people were in your class?
Supposed to be 16 was... maximum, but 16. Only 8 students was chosen.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. And so when you were accepted, did you find you received any kind of hateful feelings or anything because you were a female?
Yes, it's kind of like mixed.
Yeah.
Japanese media wanted to have those kind of attention, so does racetracks and racing association. But some of the... old type people
right.
did not appreciate it.
They did not do that. And what did they say anything to you, or they just treated you differently?
Yes and no.
Yes
it's
and no.
Mixed.
It's a mix, yeah.
Some people welcome.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm sure it was same
right.
thing
right.
happened
it's
to
definitely
here.
The same thing over here, but I'm sure in a way much, much harder for you because you were really the first to go to school anyway. And that's just, what an incredible accomplishment. And what was the school like? What was the process?
It was like a boarding school. We have to stay 6 months.
6 months.
In school.
And what was your day-to-day schedule?
Schedule started from 5 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, wow.
We had a little break, but not that much break.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a long day.
Yes.
And for 6 months, so it was pretty intense 6 months. And so you start at 5 o'clock in the morning. Did you take care of the horses? Did you just ride?
Yes.
Did you?
We have to take care of like 4 to 8 horses.
Each?
Yes. Each wow. student have to do that.
So you...
Besides, we have to study Japanese racing law and plus some other stuff. Not just riding.
Not just riding. So it was a thorough program. They covered
yes.
a lot of different things. And do you think that's... We've had guests on the show before who, you know, started from the ground up. And they say it's so valuable to know the horse on the ground before you start riding in the saddle.
Yes.
And so do you agree with that? Do you think that's really important to be able
yes,
to...
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Especially young age people, they need to know more stuff than just horses too.
Exactly. And it has to help too. I always say, you know, as a jockey, we get the horses for 1 minute and 12 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the gates open. And so much work is involved with getting a horse to the races.
Yes.
And when you work from the ground up, or in your case, when you went to school and you learn about the whole process that it takes to get a horse to the races, you really appreciate that.
And plus, not just those processes, we have to study about histories.
Really?
Yes.
History... Horse racing history.
Yes.
In Japan or the whole world?
Whole world.
The whole world. So you
yes.
learned the entire history of horse
yes.
racing. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Doesn't mean we learn.
Hey, but they taught it to you.
At least we tried.
You tried. You tried. Hey, I think that's incredible. That's incredible. And who did any of the other fellow students kind of bond with you and you all... kind of help teach each other, or did you mostly
we
teach
tried,
yourself?
We tried, yes.
Yeah.
It was like a really strong bond.
Right.
But also same time, I felt so bad because being I was only women
right.
in that class, almost every day we had a media came over for TV interview and everything and make them feel like they're Sidestone.
Yes, yes. So they put the focus on you.
Yes.
And so you felt a little bit
and
bad about
I begged
that.
Those interviewers, could you please put us as a group
right.
instead of just me?
Right.
But
they didn't do that.
A lot of times they didn't do it.
Well, it was such big news, of course, as the first female in the jockey school. So, you know, you understand, but I can see why you would feel bad. And maybe the other students would kind of resent you in a way for all the attention you were getting.
Yes, and then just because of Uma.
Sure.
And if I get the attention because I would be a good rider, I was so happy.
Right.
But
right.
those and I was just an ordinary 18-year-old girl.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, before even I started to go to jockey school, just get the attention was very uncomfortable.
Really? So you would have preferred to have... attention based on your good riding skills,
yes.
not the fact that you're a woman
yes.
in the sport.
Yes.
That I can totally understand that.
And a lot of interviewers was already make up their mind,
right.
like how I would be.
Yes.
So no matter how much I answer sincerely, they just ignore those answers.
Really? So they already had their own ideas.
Yes.
Made up.
Yes.
I didn't know what they were going to talk about. So I completely can relate to that because you don't want the focus to be, you want to be known as one of the boys out there. You know, they don't show any favoritism. You don't want to be singled
I just
out.
Want it to be one of the jockey.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Makes perfect sense. I'm joined tonight by Koru Tsuchiya. Tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Koru, you went to jockey school for 6 months. They changed the rules so that you could attend. And what was the process following graduation? Did they set you up with a trainer there at the racetrack? Or what was that process? Did you just go right away and start riding races? What was the process?
Actually, 6 months, we have two courses. 2 years course, they graduate with license. But the 6 months course, we have to still take a jockey test to be professional jockey.
Okay, sure.
So... I took test and I passed.
Good deal.
I rode for my father.
Okay.
In a race. Each jockey have to, back then, each jockey have to belong to each stables, even though we could ride with another stables.
So you had to ride for one specific stable?
Yes, mainly, yes.
Mainly?
Yes.
Mainly. And that's how it used to be here in the States as well, for the most part. You had contracts and,
yes,
and things like that. So
yes,
you mostly, did you mostly ride for your father then?
At the beginning, yes.
At the beginning.
I also rode for other people too.
Okay, okay. And how was it riding for your father? I would think I would feel a lot of pressure, I suppose, if I had to ride for my father.
A lot of times I had another race after I finished my race.
Oh, sure.
I have to run away from my father. Yep. He was tough.
Hey, that's good for you. You hope you have a race afterwards, right?
Because he was awaiting me with whips.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Because in his mind, I was first female jockey, so if he doesn't show how tough he was, another people would be criticized.
Oh, that makes sense.
So
that makes sense.
He took the heat.
That makes
sense. And a lot of people
sense.
Thinks like, oh, he shouldn't be that tough.
Right. Right. But he felt he needed to be.
Yes.
To show people how tough you were.
Yes.
That makes sense.
It was like a deep love, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember your first race ever?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, I believe it was almost over 2 hours post time was delayed.
Oh, my goodness.
Because of more people coming to racetracks by 12 hours.
So many people were coming to the racetrack? They
yes,
had to delay?
To see me.
Are you serious? They had to delay by 2 hours because everyone was coming to see you.
Yes.
That's incredible. How many people do you know came out that day?
I really don't remember, but we had so many medias, like TV and newspaper, magazines, just name it.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible.
So which was kind of made me more uncomfortable too.
I was too. Just going to say that. Had to make you...
Some trainers got so mad because postponed for the first time.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. So finally, all the people get there to see you.
Yes.
And it's post time. And you go out to the paddock and you get a leg up on your horse. And how did you feel once you got on the horse?
I was so excited.
Yeah.
Even though I was long shot.
Hey. It was your first race.
Yes.
Well, do you remember the way the race unfolded?
Yes. I just beat one jockey.
Hey, but you beat one.
And he became so famous, got beat by girl.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Sorry, buddy. Sorry.
I'm so sorry for him. I feel so bad for him.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. And what was the response after the race? Did you have a lot of fans come out? And
yes. That's it was kind of like a racetrack needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And it had to be good for the sport to get that much attention on the races. I mean, that had to be so good for the sport to have so many people come out to the races.
Yes, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And following that first race, what was the response of trainers and the horsemen?
Again, it was mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings.
Some people still had didn't feel like women gonna be in same track.
Right, right. And was this
like a male chauvinist of mine? Right. I guess.
So that your first race you rode, was that the first time a female jockey had ridden at that racetrack?
Yes, in that circuit. Yes.
Yes. And what racetrack was that?
Urawa.
Okay,
racetracks.
I'm not gonna try to say that, but that's what an accomplishment. I can't even imagine. That has to be such. You have to be so proud of that. You do, really. And so, following that first race, and did you go on to ride for other people, or still mostly your father?
Mostly my father,
mostly
and
your
then
father.
Because my father stayed in the horse business quite a long time, so some of his friend trainers gave me shot.
Oh, good.
So
sure. When was your first winner?
Following month.
The following month?
Yes.
And do you remember that race?
Yes, very well, because that horse has nobody, no way that horse going to get beat.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's always nice to sit on those kinds.
Yes.
And what happened in the race?
I just took the lead and then just keep to open up.
Yeah, yeah, took the lead and improved position.
Yes. I didn't have to even push and drive.
Really?
Just sitting that horse.
It didn't look pretty. That's nice to ride those kinds.
What a nice horse.
Nice to ride those kinds.
Yes.
And was the media there for your first win? And
yes, and those media follow me until I quit riding in Japan and
really?
Come to the United States.
Oh, okay. Okay, and how long did you ride in Japan?
Until when I was 26, yes.
And you started riding races
as
when you were
20.
You were 20?
Yes.
So you rode there for 7 years?
Yes.
Okay, and how many races did you win while you were there?
I really don't know, because we had some streaks. We cannot ride more than 3 races straight.
Really?
And we couldn't ride more than 6 races in a day.
Why?
Back then, because they think we don't have a ballet. We don't have a pony rider.
No,
so
ballets.
So they
think
like a rider going to be too tired to do that, ride
every
races.
So you had to go out there and tack your own horse?
Yes.
Really? And you had to clean your own boots? And
yes.
You had to do all the dirty work?
Yes.
Wow.
And plus, if we have like a elder jockeys, young rider try to be work like a ballet.
Oh, okay.
Almost like a slave.
Right. They try to help you out.
Young rider have to serve for elder jockeys.
Okay, sure. Well, and here's a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I know here in the United States, you know, I've talked to some of the early women riders who had to, they had makeshift jockeys rooms. You know, they had, you know, trailers and kind of horrible conditions, really, for the female riders in the beginning. How was it for you when you first started riding? What was the setup like in the jocks room?
We just share everything except like the racetrack they started, they put on little shower room for me.
Okay, so you had your own shower room.
Yes.
How about the hot box?
The difference is I was like, I didn't have to use a hot box.
Oh, so
if
you didn't
I have to use a hot
weight.
Box, I would be in trouble.
Okay. Okay, so you didn't have your own hot box and you didn't have to worry about it.
No, I didn't have.
Goodness.
Thanks God.
Thank goodness.
I had lightweight.
Well, fantastic.
My body was light, so.
What was your routine as far as working out and diet and everything like that?
Actually, Japanese racetrack, back then they believe if jockey cannot handle horses in the morning, they cannot handle in afternoon.
Right.
So we have to get up quite a lot of horses in the morning, especially if you ride a lot of races.
So you worked hard in the morning?
Yes, I did.
So you didn't really need to work out in addition to all the work you did in
I
the
didn't.
Morning?
I didn't.
Right. Because that keeps you fit and you're
and
using
plus,
the same.
I have to work much harder than other jockeys. If they showed up like in the morning, like 5 o'clock, I try to be there like 4 o'clock. And summertime we start the train early morning because summer in Japan was so humid, it was so high, and so miserable. So a lot of people start training horses like 3:30 in the morning.
3:30 in the morning.
So I try to be there like 2:30.
Wow. That's incredible. When did you sleep?
Go to bed early.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you did say you were a morning person the other day, so that
yes.
makes sense. My goodness, 2:30 in the morning. I thought getting up at 5 was bad, the horses.
Because some of the stable didn't have a jockey, so they need to wait another stable jockey going to get on their horses. So that's the only chance I could show them I could handle their horses.
How many horses would you say you would gallop in the morning?
Average, I gallop 20 to 25.
20 to 25 horses in the morning?
Yes.
Wow, that is incredible.
Difference was a lot of United States racetrack rider goes to stables.
Right.
But Japanese racetracks, grooms bring horses to the track.
Oh, okay. So you're basically jumping on and off the horses right there at the racetrack.
Yes. Otherwise, it's impossible to ride that many horses.
It would be impossible. But even still, that's incredible. I know when I galloped horses before I started riding races, you get on 7, 8, 9 maybe in the morning and then, you know, when you're working as a jockey, you're working horses, you know, same thing. You might, if you have a busy day, you try to fit in, you know, 4 before the break, 4 after the break maybe. But 20 to 25 horses, I would say that would keep you fit.
Yes, did.
Absolutely. And how was it, how many races would they run throughout the day?
They had 10 races.
10 races a day. And did you ride every race? You only could ride 6 races.
Yes.
So you could only ride 6. Would you typically find that you rode 6 races?
Earlier in my life, as a jockey, I couldn't get that many amount. But after I moved to Tokyo Oil Racetrack, 4 racetracks are the routine.
Right.
And I moved to biggest one.
Oh, okay. So you moved to the biggest racetrack.
Yes. And then that's the time, at the first 6 months was a hard one to get the amount, but after 6 months, after a year, they start to realize I could handle their horses, so they gave me a shot. So,
right. How is the process in Japan? Here in the United States, we have jockeys who first start out, they're an apprentice,
yes.
And they get a weight allowance
yes.
to appeal to trainers to ride them. They get an advantage with the weight while they don't have the experience. How does that work in Japan? Is there a weight allowance?
Yes, we did.
And like how does that work?
It helps, but we don't have that much, 10 pounds less or anything like that. First year was like 2 kilogram, which is almost like, 5 pounds almost.
Okay, so you started off with 5 pounds less.
Yes, and then next year going to be 1 kilogram, which is 2.2
okay.
pound off.
Okay.
Which really helps.
Of course, I believe it does. I believe it does, especially some of those older horses, you know, it definitely does help. And
Japanese racetracks, we carry, lots of horses carry more weight than here.
Right, right. What's the typical weight you have to make in Japan?
Oh, let's see. It's about 53 kilo, 55 kilo, which is 120
okay.
to 125.
And that's your typical
yes.
typical racehorse?
Yes.
So that, the weights are definitely somewhat higher. And so as an apprentice, you had to be, 119, 118.
Yes.
Starting out. And how long does that last?
Only for like first 2 years.
The first 2 years.
First 1 year, going to be almost 5 pounds off. And next year, going to be like, 2.2 pounds off.
That's it. So that's 2 years from the day you ride your first race?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. How about injuries? I know when I had my apprenticeship and I got hurt and I was off for a while. Do they do the same thing? Do they extend the bug if you have an injury?
I don't think so.
No, so they don't extend the apprenticeship.
No,
it lasts longer than it does here in the United States. We only get for about a year. So you get it for 2 years.
Yes.
Well, Koru, we're going to go to a break. We'll be back with jockey Koru Tsuchiya after this short commercial break. Stay with us. You're listening to Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Being a jockey may be one of the more dangerous professions in all of sports. In a split second, you can go from the top of the standings to never being able to stand again. I'm Mike Penna, and over the years, I've had the privilege of talking with many of the top jockeys in thoroughbred racing. And to a person, they will tell you that on any given day, before any given race, when they get a leg up, there's no guarantee they'll return the way they left. It's simply the reality of being a jockey. The Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund does amazing work, providing financial assistance to some 60 former jockeys who have suffered catastrophic on-track injuries. Since its founding 10 years ago, the PDJF has disbursed over $7 million to permanently disabled jockeys. And I'm proud to say that the PDJF is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, but the only way they can continue helping those disabled riders who have given our sport so much is through your generosity and support. So I encourage you to visit pdjf.org and start making a difference today.
This is TJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 Weekly Update. Calvin Burrell got his first graded stakes win since coming out of retirement. Burrell was able to upset the favorite XY Jet aboard Ivan Fallen Ovalot. Burrell finished the week with 1 win, 1 second, and 1 third place finish. Robbie Alvarado had a solid week at Churchill and Delta Downs, highlighted by a win in the Delta Mile Stakes aboard He's in Front. Alvarado finished the week in the money on 50% of his mounts with 3 wins, 4 seconds, and 8 third-place finishes. Flavion Pratt shipped into Delta Downs from Del Mar and won the Grade 3 Delta Downs Princess Stakes aboard Shane's Girlfriend. Pratt finished the week in the money on 63% of his mounts with 5 wins, 4 seconds, and 3 third-place finishes. Finally, the Shuffle Bean Coffee Jockey of the Week, Javier Castellano, had a solid Delta jackpot day at Delta Downs. Castellano's first win on the card came aboard Wildcat Wish in the Samstown Stakes. 2 races later, he would win the Grade 3 $1 million Delta Downs jackpot aboard Gunavera, who closed from last place to win by 5¾ lengths as the post-time favorite. Castellano led North America in earnings and finished the week with 7 wins, 3 seconds, and 1 third-place finish. Ride to Win, an inside look at the jockey's craft, explores everything that goes into winning a race from the rider's perspective. Written by award-winning turf riders Bob Fortas and Gary West, the book explores how jockeys land mounts, how they plan strategy, and what they are doing as a race unfolds. A significant portion of the proceeds go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. For excerpts, testimonials, and to order, visit JockeyTalk360.com. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For all the latest news in the jockey world, visit JockeyTalk360.com and follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk.
This is Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm Christina McManigal, and I'm joined tonight by jockey Koru Tsuchiya. Koru, we were just talking the first half about your career in Japan and how you were the first female jockey to ride at a major racetrack in Japan, the first to be accepted to the prestigious jockey school there. And then you come to the United States. I want to talk about that. Why did you decide to come to the United States?
It was also my father's dream.
Okay. Like,
especially United States and Kentucky is any horseman's dream place.
Yes.
So.
Yes. My old Kentucky home. I mean, here it is. That's where it all happens, right?
I wanted to try how I could stand my riding skill in major place, especially in Kentucky. And my father wanted to do that.
Yes. So. Did your father come with you, or?
Later he came over
later
to see
did.
Me.
Of course,
yes.
Of course. And so you decided to just come to Kentucky. Did you have any trainers or people you knew here in Kentucky who kind of?
Yes, my father's owner was a friend of one of our owner in here.
Really? And
so he introduced me to work with that lady.
Sure, sure. And then so you. So you knew you had connections because of your father here in Kentucky. And so
yes.
You decided to just pack your bags and move. And what was your initial reaction when you got to Kentucky?
Everything was amazing and people are so nice, amazingly.
They are very, very nice here.
Yes.
It's a wonderful place. I'm a little bit biased. But
yes. And those are people when they helped me earlier when I came to the United States in Kentucky, they are still close friend to
wonderful
me.
Wonderful people.
Yes.
Wonderful people. And when did you ride your first race here?
It was 1986 January.
1986 in January. What racetrack?
Turfway Park. That's the time we call Latonia.
Latonia, of course. Of course. And so you rode your first race at Latonia, and how did that go?
It was longest shot, and I won.
And you won.
So when I came back, everybody was waiting me, and they throw me eggs, ketchup, mustard. I said, uh-oh. I thought they likes me. Now they hate me.
You got the initiation is what you got.
I didn't know that.
You thought they were mad. That's hilarious.
It was fun.
You didn't know what to expect because I guess they don't do that in Japan. They don't
we don't. So.
Wow, that's hilarious. They thought they were mad at you. Wow, and what was the reaction? Did you have a lot of press at Turfway Park at the time whenever?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Well, especially when you win on the longest shot on the board. And did that help trainers in the area, did that show them that you obviously knew what you were doing and you could ride? And did that give you a lot more opportunities?
Yes. And at the beginning, I had a contract with that stable. And then after I become freelancer, a lot of people gave me a shot. And I really appreciate those people.
Of course. Of course. And how was it? Your riding style in Japan is a little different, I'm sure, than what we do here.
Quite
in the
different, yes.
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 How would you describe those differences and what did you do?
Like, we have to change our style.
Right.
What people wanted to hear.
Right.
So it takes for a while to adjust.
Sure, I would think so. Because the European style of riding is a little bit more, you're more upright, you
yes.
move more. This is just from watching races in Europe. But it seems to me like you ride a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And as
yes.
you said, you don't even have ponies to take you to the... Do you have starting gates in Japan?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
I think Japan is the first country ever use a starting gate.
Really? That's incredible. I did not know that. So,
but we don't have a gate crew like
but
here.
But you don't have a gate crew.
We have a gate crew, but they just close the door.
But they just shut the door. They don't hold your horse's head while you're in the gate.
American gate crew spoil us so much. Amazing.
Oh, they're all wonderful. Oh,
they're great.
And they're your best friends.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
You really want,
yes.
want to know your gate crew pretty well and take care of them,
oh.
definitely. So you everything was different. You had ponies, you had a gate crew, and then you had to adjust your style of riding. And did you look at the other riders? Did you pick out specific American riders that you wanted to look like?
Yes, yes. Doesn't mean I could be, like, I could follow their style.
Right.
Body style is different.
Right.
So,
but you had people in mind who you would try to emulate.
I wanted to be.
Right, right. Who were those people?
One of the riders was Pat Day.
Pat Day. Good rider to try yeah. to take after, absolutely.
Yes. He won anything. So.
Exactly. He's the best. He's
yes.
the best.
And there is so many riders. I just can't. There is so many big list.
Yes.
So if I start naming their names, oh, it needs maybe a couple of days to finish.
Unfortunately, we only have about 30 minutes left, Carter, so we can't go through the whole list. But Pat Day is obviously such a wonderful role model to have.
Yes.
And did you ride with him at the
yes.
time? So you got to ride with him and the other, who else rode with you in the room at Turfway Park at that first day?
Oh, that is like Charlie Woods.
Yes.
Jamie
is.
Bruin, Mike McDowell, Jack Nigel, Tony D'Amico.
Yes. Yes.
They're still all my good friends, too, so...
Right. Were there any other female jockeys?
Yes. PJ Cooksey,
oh, yeah.
Mary Ellen Hickey, Melinda Speakard, Mary Dozer.
Oh, yes. We had PJ on the show last year. She's
We had so much fine jockeys room.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I'm a little bit jealous that I didn't ride back then, because I can only imagine. You and PJ getting together, I think that would be an awesome, awesome group in the ladies' jocks room.
Nice ladies, and we are still friends,
yes.
good friends. So,
did they help you out in the beginning, try to teach you maybe the American way of doing things?
We try to help each other.
Try to help each other.
Yes.
Yes.
Like a sisterhood.
Yes.
Not just a girl jockeys.
Right.
Like a guy jockeys too. Like we are like a big extended family.
Absolutely. And that's how most jocks rooms are, because, you know, it's very dangerous out there. Y'all try to, it's competitive, but you try to look out for each other.
Yes.
And so there is that bond,
yes.
you know.
And even though we retired so many years ago, we still have those strong bonds.
Yes, yes, I think that's fantastic. And so you won your first race, longest shot on the board at Latonia, now Turfway Park. Where did you go from there?
Oh, I stayed in the Kentucky circuit.
Yes.
And only a few races I went, like to Chicago or Florida for only stakes.
And I looked you up on Equibase, and from what I understand, this is just, you know, United States victories, but you earned 263 victories here in the United States.
Wow.
That's quite the accomplishment, and over $2 million in earnings. So that was quite the accomplishment to. And how long did you ride here in the United States?
I rode, let's see, about 6 years.
6 years. 6 years.
Six, 7 years.
And just the Kentucky circuit for the most part.
Yes, and plus I was under contract first 4 years.
For 4 years. So you mostly rode for that one person.
One stable, yes.
For the first four. And then after that, the last two, you
two
pretty
or
much,
three.
Two or three, you pretty
oh,
much.
Oh, you're going to find out my age.
Never ask a lady my age.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
But you rode for the last couple years, you just rode for everyone.
Yes.
And
maybe 2 city years.
Okay. City. Okay. And what was your, do you have maybe favorite horse in mind? Who was your favorite horse to ride?
Oh, there is so many horses too. But the one of Philly was Green Heaven Lane.
Green Heaven Lane?
Yes. She was first time start and won stakes.
And she won stakes?
Yes, at the Churchilldown, Dupin Stakes.
At Churchilldown. And what year was that?
Oh my God, it was 1991.
1991.
1990. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, it wasn't.
Quite
oh my
right.
God.
Quite right. What stakes did she win?
Dupin Stakes.
Okay, yes.
2 years old Philly yes. Stakes.
How was she to ride?
Oh, that trainer was amazing. And she never started. She never earned any money. So we are not sure if she could get in the stakes. So when he asked me to work out from the starting gate, he asked me if I feel like we have a shot to win stakes, he's going to put her in.
Yeah.
But just in case, because she didn't have any earnings,
right?
We're going to put the maiden race too.
Sure.
So once she could get in the stakes, we're going to scratch maiden race.
And she got in the stake?
Yes.
And she won?
Yes.
That had to be incredible.
I think 9 horses finished 2.5 lengths.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. And do you like riding those younger horses that are still green, they're still learning, but you can help teach those younger horses? Do you like
that? I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
You loved it. She was a nice filly. Maiden winning a stake. That's quite the accomplishment. She had to pay pretty good that day, too, I would think. That's incredible. That's incredible, Cordial. And how about Keeneland? How was your experience at Keeneland?
Keeneland is great, too. Oh, just amazing. Track was nice, and people, oh, my God. Just top riders, top horses.
The atmosphere there is
yes,
is
so much class, too.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what a... What an opportunity for you to ride the great Kentucky circuit and to have the opportunities that you had and riding for everyone the last couple of years. And so how were you, did you have many injuries during your career?
I was very lucky.
Yes.
I just got the huge spills and just broken bones, something like that. It's nothing major.
Nothing major.
So
nothing major.
I was a very lucky one.
And why did you decide to retire eventually?
I enjoyed when I was riding, but it was time.
Yeah. Yeah, you just, it was time to hang it up.
Yes.
And what did you do following that?
I started working, I met my husband.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I moved to different business.
Okay, so there was love in the air, and so you decided to, you got married, and then what did you do after that?
I become gemologist.
Okay, okay, absolutely. And then now, Cordial, I would love to talk about what you do now. And as I mentioned during the introduction, you are so active in fundraising efforts for disabled jockeys. And that's something that's near and dear to my heart, as it is to, I think, every retired jockey. And tell us what you do now.
I work for a jewelry store, and besides, as much as I can, I'm involved with the Jokena Jeans. It's also 100% dedication for PDJF.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And we help sponsor the PDJF. It's just a wonderful organization. And Jockeys and Jeans, you're their newest ambassador. And tell us what that means. What do you do with Jockeys and Jeans?
Oh, Jokena Jeans is the one... 100% dedicated to PDJ fundraising, and then President Barry Powell, Mr. Barry Powell, mm-hmm. he dedicated 100% his time for this Jockey & Jeans event. And this is a fourth annual event is coming for next year, June 3rd at the Parks Place.
Parks?
Park, yes.
Yes, I rode there. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh,
I
never been.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm so exciting.
Oh, absolutely. And what do you do at these events?
As an ambassador, we try to introduce and promote our event and try to find the sponsors.
Sure.
And in event, we invited a lot of Hall of Fame jockeys plus some guest jockeys.
Who will you have at Parks?
I think right now, Mr. Lafayette Pink Eye and Mr. Randy Romero.
Yes.
And Mr. Pat Day. Actually, almost like 20 Hall of Fame jockeys was already committed. So
that's a huge group. That's
yes.
fantastic.
Yes.
So June 30th at Parks?
June 3rd, yes.
June 3rd, I apologize. June 3rd at Parks 2017.
Yes.
So folks listening, check it out. Go to Parks on June 3rd. Check it out.
Spend a nice afternoon with yes. all Hall of Famous, all Hall of Fame jockeys.
Oh my goodness, that's such a great way to spend the day, in my opinion.
And silent auction.
Sure, sure. And what does the Jockeys & Jeans tell us exactly what they do as far as what kind of an organization they are?
It's started by retired jockeys, mm-hmm. and they wanted to. Pay back for their appreciation to this industry and try to help those unfortunate fellow jockeys. So they created each year, they created this event. And I think so far, this three event raised over $500,000.
Wow. That's incredible. It was at Gulfstream Park last year.
Yes, this year, yes.
This past year, right, this
yes,
past
last
winter.
Year was Indian Downs.
Okay, right. Right, I almost went to Gulfstream. I wasn't able to.
I wish you could
get off work. I know. I'm gonna have to make it to Parks. I think.
Hey, please.
Absolutely, absolutely. And why? Why do you feel called to help so much with these fundraising efforts for disabled jockeys? Is that just something?
Because they've been so nice to me, yes. and this is a time if I can pay back a little bit for this industry.
Absolutely. Jockey Koru Tsuchiya joining me on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Koru, we've talked about your efforts helping out disabled jockeys, and that's such a wonderful thing. And you said you work for a jewelry store.
Yes.
Do you like that?
Yes, I do.
That is fantastic. And what do you do exactly?
Actually, I'm a gemologist, so it's my job to be identified stone and
okay.
grading.
So you study the stones and you determine maybe how much they're worth? Or
yes.
Okay, fantastic. And do you miss riding?
I enjoy to watching right now.
Yes.
But I think it was over.
It was time to
yes.
time to hang up the helmet. Quarter time to hang it up. But you go to the races, of course. You never look out there and think, I wish I could do that again.
No, not now.
No, not right now. Not
I
right
just
now.
Hope everybody finish race safely. That's
yes.
all my concern.
Absolutely, absolutely. When did you ride your last race?
1992 August.
1992 in August.
And at Ellis Park.
At where?
Ellis Park.
Ellis Park.
Yes.
Ellis Park. Was there something specific why that was your last race, or you just thought it was enough?
Well, it was a long story. All I can say was I had a great time
you had a great
when
time.
I was riding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Koru. And just incredible. You've accomplished so much in the United States and Japan, and I just can't even imagine. Do you have young women from Japan? Did you when you rode there, and do you still have young women from Japan come up to you and they're interested in the sport, and do you give them advice?
I'm not positioned to give advice, but
no.
At least sometimes when they came over, I can listen.
Yes, right. So when they do seek you out sometimes to,
yes.
to help them. Right. How about young women here in the United States? What would you tell a young lady who wanted to get involved in the sport?
not just young women, for any jockeys. Like, we never know about life, what's going to happen next. But whenever they wanted to do right now, just go for it.
Just go for it. Go for it. I love that, Karu. I love that. And what are your future goals and ambitions?
Right now, day by day, what I can do now to do others.
Yeah.
I'm not saint or anything, but I'm very blessed in my life. So if I can help somebody, I love to.
Well, and you do so much helping out the disabled riders and everyone. And you're such a...
I wish I could do more.
Well, you do so much. You do so much. And everyone speaks so highly of you in the industry, Koryu. And it's just so great to have you here and to hear your story. And I wanna know, you mentioned your father... when you came to the United States, he would come here to watch you ride, or he did at least at one point. And how was that to have your dad come all the way from Japan to watch you ride here in the United States?
Well, it was his dream come true.
Yes.
He said he wished he were 40 years younger.
You wanted to ride here.
Yes, he did.
Yes. Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. And where did you get to win for him while he was here?
Yes, I did.
Yes. Did he just come one time?
He did twice. Yes.
He did twice. Is he still alive?
Oh, he passed away.
He passed away. I'm so sorry. But it was so good that you got to make him proud here in Kentucky, winning races in Kentucky for him. That had to be an incredible feeling. And your mother, as we mentioned, she didn't really stop you in the beginning. She wasn't really against it. Was she proud of you as well when she came in?
Yes. And my mother and I were so close, almost like a twin.
Really?
The way we think, the way we see. So
she's very similar with your mother.
Yes.
So she was also very proud.
She was very happy.
No, that's fantastic.
It was also her dream too.
Oh, it was her dream as well.
Yes, and she was like she had a very conservative life, so she never had any adventure. So she feel like I did it for her too.
Right, absolutely. That's incredible story, Koryu. Incredible story. And we mentioned a little bit ago how racing has slowed down a little bit here in these states, and you said in Japan as well.
Yes,
it's slowed down a little bit. And what do you think that's? Why do you think that is, and what do you think we can do to help prevent that?
There is so many reasons it's happened due to economy.
Right.
And owner feel like it's not enough invest was return or quick enough. Or used to be a horseman was so proud to be owner. Though the pride is a little bit fading. Plus, used to be we didn't have so many... how to go entertainment. Now, by iPhone,
yes,
we can spend so many hours. They don't have to go to anywhere.
It's true. So, everyone's always glued to their phone.
Yes.
Yes. It's a shame.
Either we're going to destroy the iPhone.
I don't think we'll go for that. People are glued.
I need one too.
Don't think we'll see that happen in our day, Koryu. I wish I
really don't know how. Wish it's going to be back for those glory days, but I really don't know how.
Mm-hmm. You don't know how we can do that. You don't know.
I really don't know.
How about getting younger people involved in the racetrack?
There is a lot of young people, they have so many choices right now.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
So, do they like those hardworking like we went through?
Right. It's a tough world. Tough world. Early morning hours, my gosh, you were waking up at 2:30 to go gallop 25 horses. That tells you everything you need to know right there.
And they can study everything by iPhone right now, iPad. So.
It's true. It's true. It's most definitely true, Koryu. Definitely true. And hopefully we see the sport improve. I hope so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you travel much to other racetracks with your fundraising efforts? Do you travel a lot? You mentioned parks, but you rode mostly here in Kentucky. Do you travel a lot?
Not really.
Not a lot. What's your favorite?
If we have an event, if I can, I'd be there, yes.
Yes, absolutely. What's your favorite racetrack you've been to?
Recently, I went to Santa Anita. Oh, wow, that was an amazing racetrack.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How do they compare to the Japanese racetracks?
Japanese racetrack is, it's hard to compare because system is different and any horseman is not allowed to be grandstand.
Horsemen are not
except
allowed
owner.
In the grandstand. Just the owners.
Oh, yes.
Why is that?
Because of there are more strict rules. We don't have a jockey room. We have a jockey jail.
Jockey jail?
Yes, like 24 hours before post time, all jockey need to be in jockey room.
Really?
And no contact from outside.
You can't leave.
Mm-mm.
You're stuck there for 24 hours before the race.
Yes.
Is that because of wagering? They don't want you to...
And plus need to show people how strict we are.
Right, right. So you're not touting horses and...
Like here, if somebody comes up and say, how do you think about your horse? And we can say, oh, yes, we have a shot. No, I'm not sure. It's no big deal.
Right.
Nobody pay attention. But right. In Japan, if we do, it's a breaking law.
Really?
That person could lose license.
So if they break that rule, they can lose their license?
Yes.
That's incredible. And so the jockey's room has to be almost like a living quarters.
Yes.
Wow, that is incredible. That is incredible. Yeah, we just, you know, as long as you're
That's
there an hour
I
before the race.
I love the United States.
You got to be there an hour before the race. You're good to go. You're good to go. They don't keep you in jail.
I know.
My gosh, that's incredible. That's incredible. How about the crowds? Do you find that in Japan there are a lot bigger crowds that go to the races, or is it about the same?
Yes, much bigger crowd, yes.
Much bigger crowd.
Yes. People bet more higher amount of money, so
right.
Yes, it's great, but sometimes it's so tense.
So tense, yeah. Well, you know, we hope to see bigger crowds come to the United States as well, Koru, and I can't believe we are almost all out of time. We only about a minute left. Time flies when you're having fun.
Thank you so much, Krishna, to have me here.
Koru, it has been an absolute pleasure to hear your story, and you're one of my heroes. Everything you've accomplished for women and for racing, but mostly racing, because that's what you want to be known for. You want to be known as a good jockey.
Oh.
And I love it. And everything you do for your fundraising efforts and everything you do, Koru, we just love you so much, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you again.
If you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can check out our website, horseracingradio.net, and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. You'll also find a full schedule for every show on the Horse Racing Radio Network on our website. We bring you something new almost every day of the week. Check it out, horseracingradio.net. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Dallapina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thank you for listening.